Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you have given us in Jesus of abundant life. We thank you that we get to live out that abundant life today together here this Sunday in Jesus' name. Children like to collect heroes. And while many of my boyhood friends look to sports figures, my hero usually won the day by outsmarting his opponents. Not by brute strength, but just with good old-fashioned wit. His voice still rings in my head. I can hear whole blocks of speeches, lines that he said, and especially his catchphrase introduction, where no matter who you were, you eventually heard the off-soon question, "What's up, Doc?" And then there were the songs he sang, like, "When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May." Now, when I was a child, I thought Bugs Bunny was just singing that song while he bathed. "When April showers come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May." But unbeknownst to me, he was really spouting an important life lesson. See, every year as we keep on living, it seems like we always keep coming back to springtime. Spring, and then summer, and then fall, and then around here, semi-winter, and then once again, back to spring. And every year we come back and say these things again because some stories that were told in space and time become stories for all space and time. And yes, April showers are bound to come. They've come before. And they'll come again. And sometimes they put a literal damper on things, not to mention just sometimes they flat ruin the day. But after the April showers, around here, sometimes before, during, and after, the Mayflowers begin to bloom. And although we have since long forgotten things like seasonal fruit, where cantaloupes used to be a summer treat rather than something that we just expect year-round in this almost cartoonish age of mass production. This day is a good reminder that life was meant to be lived in seasons. If you were mourning, for instance, the poem in Ecclesiastes says there's also a time to dance. And for today, the ultimate reminder that the story comes full circle. Today is the day to proclaim a little louder the ultimate of ultimate stories, the ultimate of ultimate truths. Today, after we mourn, it is time to dance. But first, we go back to an earlier season that told us one day we would dance. So, rewind past our lives, past even the New Testament, life of Jesus, back a little bit farther to Jeremiah standing in Jerusalem right before it all went down. Jeremiah says in 31, "At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Funnest thing to do with Jeremiah 31 is to try to figure out, now when did he say that? What does this mean, this thing that Jeremiah is saying in this place? And that little allusion that he dropped in there, did you hear it? When he said about those finding grace in the wilderness. You know what that was? That was an allusion to even farther back in time, way back in time, to when the people came out of Egypt. When in the Exodus they walked out into the desert and stood around at times asking what we sometimes ask during seasons of mourning. Where's God? And so the people who kept talking about God, kept walking with the people of God, saying, no, God's here. God's here. And the people objected. Well, I don't see Him. Yeah, but God's here. Because you know what Numbers, the book of Numbers, that's all about that, is called in the original Hebrew Bible? It's not called Numbers. We messed that one up somewhere along the way. You know, okay, I'm going to preach today from the book of Numbers. No. Back when they wrote and published this thing originally, it was called In the Wilderness. So when Jeremiah says, those of you who found grace in the wilderness, the people in Jerusalem said, oh yeah, I remember that. My great, 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 great whatever told me about that in the wilderness through generation after generation. But then the people standing there in Jerusalem on the brink of destruction, and then walked out into Babylon, and then got to walk back home. All that story is alluded to in the wilderness. So what Jeremiah 31 is saying, God was with us back then, God's with us today, and God will keep on being with us. Jeremiah, hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, was already telling the ultimate story, the ultimate truth that, I don't know about you, but we need to hear today. God said it long ago, and because God said it long ago, that has to mean that God is still saying it today. Even if you have a faith that is barely the size of a mustard seed, just barely the size of a mustard seed, that's enough. Are you at least willing to just at least entertain the possibility that God is out there somewhere in the wilderness walking with us, even if the wilderness makes no sense? I mean, that's the whole point of this mustard seed-sized faith. Just the possibility is enough to open the door. And if you even have a faith barely the size of a mustard seed, then you can hear the actual voice of God saying today what we just read. A real word of the Lord, where the Lord said, says, and will continue to say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Go back to the wilderness. It's hot. It's nasty. There's bandits. The food is terrible. You know, no offense, God, but we're kind of getting tired of eating the same thing day after day after day. And God has to listen to this for decades out in the wilderness. And you know what God does? This is a great thing about God. You know what God does as the people are walking out in the wilderness? Back when they were coming out of Egypt, back when they were in Babylon, in the future, at least in Jeremiah's time, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, maybe today too, that when God said, says, and will continue to say to our objections, to our April showers, you know, God, I want to believe. Some days I do. I'll be honest with you. Some days I don't. And then some days I do. I was sitting here Friday night during our worship service. We kind of, in our minds, walked the stations of the cross and thought about how sometimes even in my own faith, how much, at times at least, my faith is greatly dependent upon the people sitting around me. That's the importance of the life of a body like the one that's gathered here today. That on the days when you're just like, no God, I don't get it. Well, that's what the people around you are for. That we lean on one another's faith. So that while we're walking out in the wilderness and we say to God, okay, I'm in today, God. I believe this. I'm in. Hook, line, and sinker. I'm in all the way. And then Tuesday rolls around. I'm like, just not feeling it. You know what God says? It's the same thing He said, and it's the same thing that He will keep on saying. His prophets said something else. His prophets stood up in front of the people, and they said things like, how long am I going to have to put up with y'all? Y'all is a Hebrew word. How long am I going to have to put up with y'all? And some of them actually said that. You know, and the really, just some of the prophets, they just got in a bad mood. People like Amos stand up, and I've told some of my preaching students this before, don't do this. Amos got up in front of his congregation one morning and looked at all the women and said, y'all are a bunch of cows. Oh, don't say that, Amos. You know, you say that during, preaching seminar 101, you're going to fail that sermon. Don't do that. So while Moses and Amos and all of them out in the wilderness are, saying what they're feeling, you know what God was saying the whole time? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Nowhere is this more apparent than this final moment that started everything over in Matthew 28, where the living Jesus asks us, I think, to overhear something. He said long ago that He's still saying today and that He's just going to keep saying. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, His clothing white as snow. For fear of Him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He has been raised, as He said. Come see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see Him. This is my message for you. So, they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy. I just love the way He put that. With fear and great joy. You ever come to church on a Sunday morning and felt that? Fear and great joy? Welcome to Christianity. Fear, and I'll keep reading. And ran to tell His disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to Him, took hold of His feet, and worshipped Him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. I think that's in this passage twice for a reason. Do not be afraid. You know, I think Matthew, when he was writing all of this down, made sure that part of the story was told and really had to stand out a little bit? It's because it's who we are. If you've ever been afraid and someone told you, do not be afraid. Chances are probably pretty good that you responded, whether out loud or just intellectually, okay. And that's why sometimes you have to hear things like that twice. Do not be afraid, Jesus tells us. Yeah, okay. That's why Jesus says it twice. I know that it was the angel, but the today, still speaking. Do not be afraid. Joy to the World works fine as a Christmas song, I suppose. But did you know it was originally an Easter song? It really was even past Easter. Isaac Watts wrote the words. Did you know Isaac Watts did this? When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that guy, same guy, wrote Joy to the World. He wrote it as kind of a once the new creation all comes together kind of song. One of these days we'll get to sing this song. That's where the whole language of when heaven and nature sing, that's where that comes from. Because one of these days, heaven and nature are going to sing together. And I know our objections. Well, they're sure not singing together today. I know. That's the point. Joy to the World imagines one of these days when we're going to sing and heaven's going to sing and nature's going to sing together. It's kind of the ultimate Easter song where we as a congregation stand up and sing Joy to the World as hope that one of these days all of this is going to finally come together. Well, we're not there yet, but we're closer. We're getting closer every single day. And so imagine this song that shouts for joy from the rooftops where heaven and nature join together and sing. So imagine this kind of ultimate Eastery of Easter songs, when heaven, nature, and us sing this song together, and as we sing Joy to the World, the person next to us elbows us and says, do not be afraid. And you know what we say in response to that? I'm not. I'm not afraid. And nobody cries anymore. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. At that moment, that point in Scripture becomes irrelevant. Don't you imagine that? Do you ever think you'd come into a Church of Christ and somebody would say, well, that Scripture is irrelevant? Well, one of these days it will be. Time to mourn, time to dance. That's not permanent. That's temporary. We sing because Jesus has assured us in a world that gives us plenty to fear that we do not have to be afraid. April showers? Yeah, they're real. But May flowers? They're real too. And while we live now in a time where facts are manufactured, we still sing a song like Joy to the World. If for no other reason, then that's what we do. Why do y'all come in here and sing Joy to the World? Because that's what we do. It's who we are as a people. We sing because God spoke long ago through a man named Jeremiah to a city on the brink of destruction, more eternal words than those confined to space and time. Words that we hear God speak most clearly because of the living Jesus. Lean in. Lean in just a little bit. Let your faith swell to the size of a mustard seed. Can you hear it? Can you hear the voice of God? Lean in a little bit more, and you can hear it. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. We saw that in Jesus, and we see that in Jesus, and we'll see it again. We'll keep on living into summer, and then into fall, and then into semi-winter. But this is the story we keep coming back to. This story today is the one that sustains our lives. It is the one that keeps coming around where we join together every spring to sing joy to the world. And we do it because we say, even with faith the size of a mustard seed, we say it out loud together. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.